This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hello, everybody. This is the Almost Famous Podcast. I'm Ben.
I'm Ashley.
And
I'm Becca.
We have the new bachelorette, Becca, in the house. I mean, we're spoiled right now. We get her 2 weeks in a row.
I know. No, stop now. I feel very privileged.
You know, the best part about, and I've tried to watch Becca today, she's just completely untainted by press. So, like, she's still very happy and, like, willing to do anything.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we get this at the beginning, because I promise you in, like, 4 months, this would be like a huge ask of you. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, she's still excited to do it. It's so nice.
Well, I'm fresh off the plane, so I'm kind of loopy. Like, what am I doing right now?
Yeah. Well, we enjoy having you. You said this is your Beyonce moment. What do you mean by that?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I have this mic set up in front of me sitting with you guys. I'm like, I need some wind blowing in my hair. I need a nice beat behind me. A leotard, maybe.
She's definitely loopy from the plane.
Yeah, she's definitely loopy. It sounds like something Ashley would say. But the funny part is Ashley has these, like, outrageous comments like, this is my Beyonce moment. I'm like, I don't know what that means. And then she explains it. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, like, you can, like, Ashley's known to trace everything back to, like, some pop culture moment.
Always.
And she's great at it. And so when you said Beyonce moment, I was like,
did it make
sense
when I was describing it now?
Could you see
it? You're like, no, not at all.
Yeah, sitting around with our portable podcast equipment. Well, I mean, we are in this really cool Sky Lofts.
We're at the Sky Suites. Let's be correct here. We're in the Sky Suites at the MGM. What are we doing here right now? Like, well, why are we at the MGM?
You explain that, because it's really all about you. It's not even about Becca, even though this is really her month.
It's all about me. Okay, so the MGM just opened a Bachelor slot machine. And it just happens to have my face, Nick Viall's face, Sean Lowe, and Jake Pavelka. And so we're out here promoting that. Because it's a really cool game. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to make a lot of people a lot of money. So make sure you come out and play.
And have people lose a lot of money.
Well, either way, the MGM is going to make money, or the people are going to make money. And so we're out promoting that. And we just thought, what better way to do a podcast than live and in person? Becca, how are you holding up?
I'm doing great. Again, a little loopy right now.
Yeah.
You are tan AF right now.
Tan and happy.
You looking great.
Thanks, girl.
Yeah.
We just got done talking about the fact that we both have Bible verses tattooed on our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was sharing my story about my tattoo, is where they actually messed up. And it was the wrong verse. It says Proverbs 16:34 when I got it done. Yeah, and now that's why I have a cross after the 3, because that used to be a 4. So for like 4 weeks of my life, I had a tattoo that was incorrect on my body. And it just happens to be a Bible verse. Like, it wasn't like the no regrets tattoo. Have you seen that?
Yes.
You
remember
that? Yes. That's across the chest.
Across the chest. No, this is a Bible verse.
I feel like 50% of tattoos get messed up.
How did you not know going in,
really?
Though?
So here's the story. I went back home for Thanksgiving. My parents and I got in a massive argument.
What year?
This college? Was my freshman year of college. So this would have been 2008. Yeah, that's when I started college.
Wow, we're old.
So long story short, to not bore anybody, I got a massive fight with my parents, and I said, I'm going to do something that really makes them mad. So I left my home, and I drove down to Bloomington, and on the way, I was so angry, and I was like, I'm going to do something crazy. I'm just going to really rebel here. It's like, I'm going to get a Bible verse tattooed on my
You're
side.
You're going to show them?
Yeah, I want to show them.
Get that Bible verse.
Yeah, that's not very tough now that I say it out loud. and so I went down, and I had some drinks. Because I knew that I was going to be getting a tattoo for the next couple hours.
Were you legal, Ben?
Definitely not. No. But that's okay, Ashley, because I'm a rebel. And so I called up my buddies, asked them to take me to the tattoo parlor. We walk in, and I'm just laying there the whole time, enjoying myself, getting a tattoo.
Wait, you were enjoying yourself?
Yeah, because I was just kind of like hanging out.
I'm just doing this.
I'm just getting it done. And I was, you know, I was angry. And then about halfway through, like 3 hours in, I realized that it might have been a mistake. And I got back to my room, and I showed my buddy my tattoo, and he's like, hey, what Bible verse did you say this was what this was? I was like, Proverbs 16:3. He's like, your side says Proverbs 16:34. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, it did. So now I have a cross on my side that covers up the 4. So if you ever see me at a pool shirtless, that cross is not meant to be there. But I do believe in the cross, so it's all good.
But it's a good touch.
Yeah, so it's a good touch.
Yeah, at least with the Bible verse, you can't go home and really regret it. You're like, oh, that was a stupid saying. It's not. It's always going to be a good thing.
Yeah, that was my comment. Was like, I'm going to get a Bible verse. I don't know if you felt this way, Becca. Because if I ever regret having a Bible verse on me, then I know I'm at a place in life that I've never wanted to be.
Right.
Oh, so that transitions into this world, Becca. We got to talk for a second. Ashley and I are huge fans of you. Massive fans.
Yes.
We talk about you every week. We've been ecstatic. We're not always fans of people on the show. We get in trouble sometimes because we're pretty boisterous about not being fans of some people. With you, we are your biggest supporters. Because you're authentic, you're genuine. I mean, this whole press tour thing, it gets repetitive, right? You're going to ask the same questions. There's going to be a moment where you're like, I haven't said something I actually mean in weeks.
But really?
100%.
Liar?
Because press is repetitive. Because they ask you a question, are you happy? And why? And you're going to say, well, of course I'm happy. And this is why. And you're just going to continue to say that over and over again to 8 different people in one room. It gets repetitive.
But they're not lies.
No, they're not lies. I'm just saying you haven't said anything you actually feel like where you're angry. You can't be angry during press tours.
So you could be like, I am happy in my love life, but right now I'm so frustrated with saying the same thing over and over.
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant. And because you're genuine and you're authentic, and I think that you're going to carry this franchise with a lot of dignity and respect. So thanks for coming on the podcast, but just also thanks for doing you and being you through this whole process.
So yeah, that's all I can be.
And you get prettier and prettier every day. I just kind of want to stare at you.
Stop.
Do you feel like, okay, so this comment was made earlier. Do you all feel like the bachelors or bachelorettes get better looking once they enter into being the bachelor or bachelorette?
Yes, always.
Why?
Because we have the dream team behind us.
Glam team.
Okay. Yeah. Who is that? It's Carrie Fettman.
Gina. God, I could not live without them.
Megan Arujo.
Megan. Lady K.
Yeah. I mean, they make sure that we look good. Yeah.
Everyone.
Everybody, like some of your producers. But it's true, right? Like people seem to get better looking once they actually become the bachelor or bachelorette.
I think I got fatter.
Whoa.
Well, I was never the bachelor or bachelorette, but I've gotten fatter through all the seasons. I think I'm just happier.
No, I was looking at you earlier, and I'm like, I could just stare at her.
What?
When you were on camera?
I'm looking at myself right now. I have morning face. I have this thing I call morning face where I feel like my face hasn't completely drained, and it's just really puffy.
Story of my life.
Really?
For the past 3 months.
Yeah?
Morning face.
It's the bag area. It's this whole area, like cheekbone and up, that you just don't feel very good about yourself.
I think I don't even think it's morning face for me anymore. I think it's just life face.
It's not. I'm looking at you right now.
That's the ice stuff that you do, right? You put ice on your face for this?
That's what I would do on The Bachelor to prevent that.
Or put spoons under our eyeballs.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a thing.
Rollers
huh?
are really good too.
Yeah. You know, I have never told Ashley this, and it's a good moment to break it because we're in person. When Ashley did her season with Chris Soules, I had the biggest crush on Ashley.
What?
I really did. She's gorgeous. No, she is.
My gosh.
Everybody sees her. She's absolutely beautiful. And I remember.
I love your reaction.
Well, so I remember there is this scene that, like, so I had this huge, huge crush on you. My buddies and I just think you're absolutely gorgeous, which you are. And I've told you that.
You're
beautiful.
How has this never come out before in 3 years?
I don't know. That's weird. Well, 1 year. We're one season of the podcast. We have to save stuff, right? We can't share it all in one podcast.
This is
we
got to
wait till we're
thing.
Already going to get good ratings with Becca here.
We'll always challenge and push you.
Yeah, exactly.
And learn about one another.
That's right.
But there was one scene where you and Chris are making out. Like I feel like you were sitting on like a ledge somewhere.
A ledge? There was one where we were up on a balcony. And
yes.
Yeah?
And
that
it was,
part?
It was a very intense scene. And it was the first time I had seen you kiss. And I was like, Chris, kiss Chris. And I felt jealousy. At that time, which was my first, like, so yeah,
I almost pulled him off the balcony and I was so embarrassed.
It was a very intense kiss, very sloppy.
It was so sloppy.
It was so sloppy.
That's something that's gotten better over time, camera kisses.
I just remember watching it and being like, that was pretty sloppy.
Yeah. Wait, but you were still jealous.
Google this right now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
Becca, you're in the studio next time, I'll make sure that I have it pulled up. And you guys listening, we are going to have Becca back in studio this coming Tuesday, an entire hour episode with her.
That's gonna be a blast.
So make sure you email your questions and put them down in the Facebook group.
Yeah, definitely.
Ben, join the Facebook group. Do you have a Facebook?
I do. I don't do a lot with it.
Yeah.
But I do have a Facebook. Yeah.
Okay.
So our Facebook group is growing, I hear.
Yeah, I think we're up to like 10,000.
That's a lot more than my Facebook.
Same.
Becca, I know next week's a big week for us. We're going to have a blast, and so we're going to save a lot for there. I do want to know, based on the kissing conversation, are you ready to watch yourself kiss up close with the sounds? I mean, I know with Ari it happened, but you're going to see this every day, every night, with your family watching. Just wait till you have an intense makeout scene with your family there.
No, I'm not ready for that at all. I'm going to have to put blinders on the entire time.
Did you get used to that, Ashley? Like, watching it?
I think I just got better over time, so it was less awkward watching it. But Becca, are we going to see you kiss as much as we've seen the like past 5 years of Bachelor and Bachelorette's kiss? Because I feel like it's been a big jump in the amount of kissing going on.
You know, I talk a lot, so I don't know how much. There was a lot of kissing, but I also just can't shut up half the time. So hopefully it's a good balance.
What happens if the person that you kiss best with isn't the person you have the strongest connection with? Oh my God, she experienced it.
Wait, well, time out. That's a thing? Yeah. That's a thing, Ashley?
Of course.
So you think that the people that you've kissed best are the people you typically have had the best connection with?
No, I'm saying that sometimes there's just like a really amazing physical thing, yeah. But there's not as much that runs deeper than that. And then sometimes you have a good physical and then a good everything else.
So it has to be all to kind of enter into a relationship?
I'm saying sometimes. Haven't you had like a girl that you were just like that you just only had this burning passion for, but you didn't like really?
Yeah.
It wasn't 100%. There in like, completely.
Yeah, and you never made sense why. Yeah. Wait, we got to talk through this real quick before we let... I was going to let Becca go, but no, we're in it now. This is some relationship advice for us all. Okay, Becca, let's just assume right now. We're not going to ask... This is not relating to The Bachelorette, okay? So take everything out of play. Whatever you say here is just giving general relationship advice, okay? So if anybody's listening and she's speaking from a place of experience, we're not hinting at any... anything right now, other than the fact that she's just a relationship expert. Okay, so if you're...
She's now a relationship...
This is no spoilers. Okay, so if I feel something with somebody, so I have a great physical connection with somebody, but yet there's still something lacking. What is that?
I don't think... I think Becca and I are on a different topic right now than you.
Okay, then explain this to me.
Okay, can I make it a little personal to you? Just based on your own like season.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
Okay,
yeah.
So not in real life. So I think from a viewer standpoint, people would be like, he's so physically into JoJo, but he probably has a more well-rounded feeling for Lauren.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, because there was like this undeniable physical chemistry.
Yeah.
With JoJo.
Yeah.
Like it was hard for me. To not like be a, like when I was around her, to not like have my hand
exactly.
on her or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But with Lauren, it was like, okay, all of this makes sense. Like
right.
the physical's there.
Precisely.
But, yeah.
But then
okay.
the emotional and mental, everything else is there too.
You'd rather.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd rather be with somebody who has, it's good everywhere instead of like that one area where it's like super hot, but you know, that'll yeah. fade eventually.
Yeah. So that fades.
Yeah.
So
I would think that fades. I have never experienced.
What do you think is the most important characteristic then in a relationship to keep something fruitful and flowing and long lasting?
Well, conversation and just the common understanding of each other and being able to talk about everything. All right. So cliche, but.
Okay. Becca, what do you think?
I would agree with that. Also, too, I heard some really solid advice on my season, and it was from a couple on the crew, and they said, go to bed every night and give a kiss, and wake up every morning and give a kiss. Because when you have kids, it's so easy to get lost in raising the children and, you know, just life mm-hmm. that you sometimes forget about your partner. And so mm-hmm. to always still keep that physicalness alive if you can.
That makes sense. And Ashley always drops these like little bombs on me, like without her even knowing it, relationship advice. And you said something the other day in passing that's really stuck with me.
Really?
You said, because we were talking about my life and finding somebody, and so this was specific to me, and you said, Ben, you've got to find somebody that you love their faults. That you accept their faults and you love their faults. I don't know if you said it in those exact words.
Okay, I didn't say
but
it in
you
those exact
but
words.
That was what you were getting at is like you got to find somebody that you realize nobody's going to be perfect. Everybody's going to have issues. And the difference is when you look at somebody and say, I know you're not perfect and I love you for that. Mm-hmm. And that to me, like it my mind was blown because that makes so much sense. And I felt that before. I felt that with people mm-hmm. when you're like, I don't mm-hmm. care what mistakes you make. Mm-hmm. I don't care what insecurities you're holding on to. I want to love you and support you through that.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's easy for two people will go into some relationships and they want to change mm-hmm. an aspect of somebody or change something in their character. And I think you can't go into a lasting relationship that you really want to work changing that.
Definitely not. They'll never really change.
Yeah.
The projects. That's what, remember high school always used to be the in my life, the women always loved the project. You know, the bad guy that they could fix.
My sister loves projects.
We've talked about that. Your sister is a big project girl.
Yeah, she loves it. The more down and out they are, the more she's really willing to tackle them.
That's wild.
Literally and figuratively.
Hey, Becca, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you, guys.
We're going to have a blast next week.
I have so many questions I'm already writing down for
next week?
Yeah.
Yeah, so please, if you have any questions, make sure you email us at benandashley@iheartmedia.com. We're going to spend an hour, I think, just focused on talking about life and relationships and love and this crazy world with the Bachelorette herself. It really does mean a lot that you come on to this for us. So thank you.
Yeah. It's so fun meeting you guys.
That's so good.
I'm excited for next week.
Me too. Hey,
keep glowing.
I'm
you're
so
literally
excited.
Glowing. Keep
yeah.
glowing.
I'm so excited that you're excited. My that makes us very happy. All right. Bye, Becca. Thanks for being here.
Thanks Becca. Ashley, I really enjoyed having Becca here.
I do too.
She's going to kill it this season,
isn't
she?
She's so pretty and nice.
She's so pretty and nice. Her teeth. Her teeth are incredible.
They really are.
How do we get teeth like that?
Well, I would suggest using Quip if you haven't started.
I would too, Ash. I would suggest doing Quip. Ashley, you use Quip, right?
I do.
Okay, so I brought my Quip out here with us to Vegas because, honestly, I love using Quip for the robe. It's a great travel toothbrush.
I love the fact that it has that little case so you don't get all your suitcase grodiness on your toothbrush.
I agree. No, and it's clean. It's sleek. And so for everybody listening right now, we want to thank Quip for helping support this episode of the Almost Famous podcast. We really love Quip. Like we said, it came with us to Vegas right now. Let me tell you a little about it. The truth is most of us are brushing our teeth wrong. And for not long enough, and forget to change our brush on time. That's because most brands focus on selling flashy gimmicks rather than actual brushing techniques, but not Quip. So what makes Quip so different?
Well, for starters, Quip is an electric toothbrush that's a fraction of the cost of the bulkier brushes, and it still packs just the right amount of vibrations to help clean your teeth. And what I really love is it has a built-in timer that helps you to clean your teeth for the dentist recommended 2 minutes with guiding pulses that remind you when to switch sides.
Next, Quip subscription plans are for your health, not just convenience. They deliver new brush heads on a dentist recommended schedule.
Every 3 months.
It's really every 3 months for just $5, including free shipping, not just domestically, worldwide. They're internationally known.
You know who loves Quip?
Who?
Oprah. She put it on her like O list. And if Oprah likes it, you know it's a great product and one to be trusted. It's also named one of Time's best inventions. And it is the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association. Wow.
So everybody out there listening, I'm sure you're like, how in the world can I get Quip today? So I'm going to tell you, Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com, that's getquip.com/almostfamous right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/almostfamous, spelled getquip.com/almostfamous. Go get it today. You'll have teeth like Becca. The first segment with Becca was needed and awesome and good for us all. But we're going to tell you a little bit about why we're here in Vegas. We're here in Vegas, like we said, to promote the slot machines. We're sitting here with one of our good buddies, the former Bachelor, Nick.
What's up, guys?
We had an awesome night last night. We went to a great dinner here at the MGM at China Tang. Mm. And then we went to a nightclub and had a few drinks and people watched. And now we woke up early to start promoting the slot machines. And so while we're in Las Vegas, we thought, what better way to take advantage of this moment than to do a live podcast? We are live right now. This is a big deal.
This is live?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is absolutely live. We have a few of our special guests in the room right now. We have former Bachelor Jake Pavelka, who will be coming on the podcast in a little bit. right now, we have Nick Vile sitting at the seat. Before we got Jake on, we were going to run through the script of him being him because that is what he, you know, his season's infamous for. But we just thought we would skip it because some things need to die.
If I were Jake, I would want to skip it.
Yeah, and that little that little interaction, Jake feels needs to die. So we're gonna support that and just allow it to die.
Yeah, you know that Amy just can't get enough of this scene. This is her favorite scene of Bachelor history.
Coming up later in the podcast, one of Bachelor Nation's favorites, Dan Cox, will be in studio with us right now. Can we just give a round of applause for all of our guests, please?
Yes! I can't clap.
Why?
I am holding this thing up right now.
Okay, but before we do, Nick, what brought you to Vegas? Like, why did you choose to come here to promote this slot machine?
They said I can hang out with you.
I would agree. That was really, like, honestly, the point for me to come out here was, like, you get to hang out with Nick for a night. At the MGM Grand. So we both agreed, let's do this.
I mean, the truth is, we didn't go to a nightclub. We cuddled. Shoulders.
We cuddled and played blackjack. How'd you do last night on the blackjack table?
Not well.
Neither did I.
What were the reactions that you guys get when there are two bachelors walking around in Vegas?
Just disappointment. No. Let down. Like, wow, you were better looking on TV. It's like, oh, yeah, well, there was makeup.
They're like, oh, we figured you'd see you guys here.
We actually, let's just talk for a second. We actually had an interaction at the pool yesterday. Well, where this lady came up to us and she goes, oh, I recognize you from The Bachelor. And we said, okay. And then she said something along the lines of like, are you still sad?
Really?
Or like,
my favorite question is, are you okay?
Yeah, are you okay?
Really? Like, huh. You guys get this?
I was. Oh, yeah. But not anymore.
and then things like...
It'll be fine. You'll be happy. I wish you luck.
Yeah.
I didn't know I needed it. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I worry about you often. It's like, oh.
No, really?
Oh, 100%.
No.
Yeah, definitely.
I worry about you often.
Yeah.
One time, it's always very positive in real life. When people meet you in real life, they're always so nice.
Everyone's very positive. But once in a while, you get those... We do, in terms of, like, real concern.
Real concern. Well-being. Well, I feel like I always get, don't cry so much, or don't worry, it'll happen for you. Like, I get those.
Yeah.
But you know what was my most traumatic meeting of somebody? The only time they weren't nice to me in real life, I was in a bathroom in the Bahamas with Carly and Jade. This is after Bachelor in Paradise 3, and Carly was there with Evan and engaged. So then Jade and Tanner were there, and this is where Emmy was actually conceived. Anyway, long, long story short, this woman came up to us in the bathroom and goes, oh my gosh, Jade and Carly, I'm so happy for you. It's so wonderful to see you guys found love. Then she looks at me and she goes, Ashley, grow up.
Oh,
what a bitch.
I know.
Oh, that's rough, Ash.
Yeah, it was. I like basically welled up, my dear. Yeah.
Yeah. There's just a lot of condescending.
Really, that's. I've never had someone do that.
I know, right?
Like straight up.
There's just a lot of condescending comments. Like even today, as we were promoting the slot machine, I was sitting there, and this lady came by, and she said something along the lines of, "Are you happy?" And I said, "I am happy." She goes, "With yourself?"
What?
And I said,
"She did."
Yeah, remember? Because that's when we got the soliloquy about how if you're happy with yourself, then life's good. Like, then you're doing okay.
Maybe they have great expectations for you, Ben. No. Like, with me, they're like, well, I mean, we get it, you know.
I don't know, man. It's just a lot going on. Nick, what's new in your life? What's going on? Tell us a little bit. Catch us up.
Not much, man.
I mean, you're acting. You just had a segment. We just talked about it on General Hospital. That's pretty awesome. Playing yourself, but also playing a pretty cool role that a lot of like really talented people have done in the past.
Well, Mario Lopez is very talented.
He's killing it right now.
He's fabulous.
Yeah, he's amazing.
It was a scripted role. I played a host. I mean, I guess I played myself as the host. They have this thing in the show called the Nurses Ball, which because it's General Hospital, which is the nurses. And it's a great award show. And I had the great pleasure of interviewing in a scripted format of, what was going to take place in the crazy world of General Hospital. Someone died afterwards. I think there was a murder.
No.
We've talked about murders often on this podcast.
My favorite question, because this wasn't part of the script, like when we were done like doing the scenes, was, have you killed anyone? Or have you been killed? Isn't that what happens on soap operas?
I don't know. I don't watch traditional soaps.
You get killed and you come back. Is like
they always come back. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like the wicked stepsister. So that's what I wanted to know.
That reminds me. I've had this. Was soap operas the original reality television?
No, because it's not. It's completely scripted.
Well,
yeah, that's a terrible question.
First of all, you just can't win today.
We all know the first reality TV was Paris Hilton, was she not?
Yeah, The Simple Life is definitely. But I think what Ben means is like over the top drama. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the original, like, yeah, I'm not stupid. It's scripted and unscripted. But
you're not stupid. That was just a bad question.
No, I think it's a pretty good question. Was soap operas.
I'm hitting my forehead right now.
Soap operas, the original form of entertainment for the people that love reality television.
Yes.
Okay.
Melodramatic.
Did you watch them?
No, my mom always watched all my children. Little tidbit.
My mom was a big soap opera person, which is surprising because she's not a reality television fan. I think it was Around the World. Okay. As the World Turns.
As the World Turns.
Yeah. So
no longer on.
No longer does that. But I remember growing up having that on TV often, which is surprising because it doesn't really seem like my mom today. I got to talk to her about that.
What does your mom like to watch?
My dad's a big Cubs fan, so they watch a lot of Cubs. Mm-hmm. The big like Voice and American Idol fans.
Okay.
And they're big Bachelor fans.
Well,
yeah.
I wonder why.
They love The Bachelor for some reason.
No way.
They always love The Bachelor?
You know, it was kind of my mom and I's thing. After I moved back home after college for like a year, we watched both seasons. We really enjoyed it. But no.
Who would have known? Like, how crazy is that?
Wild.
Like, one day in 5 years, my son is going to be that bachelor.
It's so weird.
On a slot machine. I mean, I watched Chris Soules' season and Andy's season from the couch at my parents' house. I remember this clearly because we got into the show. Like, I remember this is an iconic scene for me. I remember the moment that we had last week, we had Josh Murray on the podcast.
How was that?
It was unique.
A lot of honesty and self-awareness, probably.
It was something, Nick. So you know Josh well.
Hey, Ben, we forgot.
So back to the scene.
Okay, fine.
That was absolutely. Back to the scene is Josh Murray confronts a guy after he gave a number to a waitress. Remember this scene? Like where you guys were all to dinner or something, and he like was like, hey, that's not okay. And there was a moment I was like, that guy's a stand-up dude. He's willing to face controversy.
Fight for love.
I remember that with my mom, and we were like, that's a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That show sometimes gets you.
Mm-hmm. And now look at us. Now we're talking about it with all of you. All of the people that I grew up watching, I now sit in the room with right now. How special am I? Watching Ashley make out with Chris. Okay. Watching Nick dress as a mime.
Ben, we didn't go through the whole Ben had a crush on me during Chris's season.
Yeah.
Story. We didn't finish this.
Oh, we got to go back to it now.
Yes.
Before or after you sucked Chris's face off?
That was apparently during. He said he was jealous while watching that.
I mean, I wasn't.
No, actually, I mean, everybody.
When did you
knows.
Lose the crush? When you met me in real
Probably
life.
After watching you suck Chris's face off.
You said that you were jealous.
No.
come here.
You know,
I actually thought you were great.
Yeah, I think. Watching that show. Ashley, you're gorgeous. You're absolutely beautiful. And so you watch that. I think everybody comes up to me. I know it happens to us all. And they're like, that Ashley, she's one beautiful person. I'm like, yes, she is. And so you watch the show and you're like, she's beautiful. And then I got to know you. And you're like, we're good friends.
Yeah.
Like, this makes sense. And so there wasn't like a lack of like loss of love. I'm not sitting here like, Ashley, like there's a lack of love for you.
Yeah,
it's like,
I
just absolutely adore you as a person. But on that show, I was like, that girl is gorgeous.
Oh,
you know who else
thanks.
I thought was really pretty? Another good example, Samantha Stephan.
Oh man, yeah,
yeah,
insanely.
You
pretty.
Kind of have a very similar look.
Oh,
my
thank
best
you.
Friend Kyle thought you were the hottest person alive on Chris's old season.
No way,
See?
You guys.
Keep it coming.
Oh
Ashley's
my God.
Ashley's saying
thank
stop,
you.
But actually continue.
No, but I love it. But I do. I love it. I remember my first real interaction with you, Ben. You actually were in my hotel room, and there was like 10 other people. A mismatch of my season and Caitlin season, and it was after your men tell all.
Okay.
And I just remember how, like, when I was talking, you were completely invested in every word I was saying, and I was like, Ben Higgins really is the Prince Charming that he is on TV. And then I basically texted my mom and I go, I'm gonna marry Ben,
you know.
and then
we do a podcast together. See, there's just a lot of love here. This is why this works. And then we're both happy, both fighting for love in the world, and we're just supporting each other through it.
Can we talk about Benjamin Button, Nick, for a second? Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at Nick's face right now. It's actually insane how much younger he looks now than when he was on Andy's season.
Yeah, what happened?
What's your secret?
Like from when I first sat down?
Yeah. Yeah, you lost 6 months since you just sat down.
I have no clue how this happened. I actually do know how this happened, actually.
What?
This is the perfect podcast for this transition here. We have one of the reasons why Nick stays so young and so fit on the podcast today with us, Dan Cox. Dan, do you mind stepping into the seat here and replacing Nick? Nick, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Nick. Next time
you... Dan has anything to do with it, but...
What a smooth transition. Nick, one day you'll come back with our secrets, with your secrets of youth. Please.
So Dan Cox is sitting here with us right now. Dan, before we get into...
Before we get into anything, can we talk about that photo you have of me?
Oh, the photo in my
so
notes here.
Bad.
Yeah, is this old. From Dez's
that's, yeah,
season?
That's 6 years ago.
I actually
the facial hair does you so well.
Thank you.
And yeah, so does the length on your hair.
You've always told me that. You're like, grow your hair out.
Yes. Hair guys out. Should always have a couple inches if they have hair. Have it.
Okay, so Dan, before we get into how you're helping Nick look young, because you look pretty young yourself.
workout stuff.
Can you catch us up a little bit how the people out there know you?
Yeah, so you probably don't know me from Desiree's season. I was only on it for about 3 weeks. And then I was on Bachelor in Paradise 2 with Ashley.
Yes, you were, and you dated Ashley Salter.
Thank you for bringing that up, you and Mike Fleiss.
Mike Fleiss did it before, and now here I am recording it.
Yeah, that's how I'm remembered. But it was a great experience, and it's crazy. I mean, it's been, 3 years now?
Yes, it'll be 3 years in June.
Yeah, it's nuts. It was a good run, great experience, and life's been good since.
You have a girlfriend, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Tell us about her.
So, Natalie, she's amazing. So she lives in L.A. We go back and forth from L.A. to Vegas, and we've just made it work. She was actually on Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Reality star then, couple.
Yeah, it happened. And she did another show on E2, but... Yeah, now we've kind of like all that's behind us, and we're just concentrating on each other, and it's been good.
That's awesome, man. Okay, so in all seriousness, let's talk about some of the stuff you're doing, because I know I love the products that you've developed and that you market and you sell. Nick uses them as well, so and that was kind of my plug there.
Great for working out.
A lot of this stuff that you sell is really great. Can you just tell everybody out there what you're doing and in all seriousness, how these products can help them?
For sure. So I'm in the nutrition world. I started opening up brick and mortar nutrition stores and then saw voids in the market of products that weren't available that I want to take. So I started developing my own product line. So I have two really. One is called Metcon that's more for endurance and performance. And then another one called Wealthy, which is much more like Health Essential focus, get people that are goals, optimize health. The whole point behind it was to find the cleanest possible nutrients I could find, make them gluten-free, soy-free, dairy-free, make them non-intimidating and very simple for people to take and understand what they need. And then with that, it was my intention that, how lucky are we and the people that are buying these products to supplement our diets for optimal health when there's people that can't even afford to put a meal on the table. So I partnered up with Feeding America. And so for every product we sell, we donate a meal to someone in need through local food banks.
That's absolutely incredible. Yeah. I mean, that really is great. And honestly, I think I have to give you, maybe Nick won't own up to it, but I have to give you a lot of credit because the reason that I feel like I'm in good shape right now and I feel like I have energy and a clear mind is really because of the products that you have sent and that I've bought from you. So, I would say anybody out there looking to kind of take a next step in their health.
Yeah.
How can they find you?
So you can go for performance. It's metcon.com, metcon.com.
Okay.
And then for the wealthy line, it's I'm Wealthy. So IMWELLTHY. And actually, fun fact, you guys both work with FabFitFun, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're huge supporters. And so for any FabFitFun members, there's actually a couple products on the box add-on right now if they're interested.
No way.
For like
That's
ridiculous
huge.
Price. So if you guys are, just look up, it's Wealthy Sweat and Her. So it's a fat burner and then a women's multivitamin with the hair, skin and nail complex.
Awesome.
So any FabFitFun members, if not, go straight to the website.
We're both members.
Mm-hmm.
We're both members.
Add it into the box.
All my boxes. All I got all my boxes. They're really good. Dan, can you give us a little bit something funny that happened with Ashley S, just because our audience is going to love it. Your girlfriend may not, but is there anything that didn't make air or a very memorable moment that you've you'd like to regale our audience with?
There was one time when we were like just, I think it was the rose ceremony where it was pretty much like we were done. And she grabbed me and was like, "We need to talk." And I'm like, "Okay." And she's like, "Follow me." And I'm like, "Where are we going?" And you remember the stairs, like kind of up to where you get taken away?
Yeah.
And I'm like, "What's going on here?" And I was like, not sure what was happening.
Was this a bird moment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was like, "Come with me. And I want you to show you the birds." And I'm like kind of freaked out right now. And it's like dark. There's no light or anything. And like all of a sudden, Louis comes out of nowhere, the producer, and grabs me. And he's like, "Dan, I need to talk to you. Come with me." And I'm like, "What's going on, man?" And he's like, "Dude, I just need to talk to you. Come with me."
No way.
And I'm like, and he was watching the whole time, saw her pull me away and was like, "Dude, I was scared for you. I had to save you."
No.
Like, yeah. And he was like, "I didn't know she's going to take you to the bird cages and what was going to happen." And I was like, "Okay, I appreciate it, Louis."
As if the birds were going to harm you?
Yes, yeah.
Did you guys date after this story?
No.
You never kissed again?
No. Yeah, it was done at that point.
I kind of find that attractive.
It is like quite birds. Interesting.
Yeah. And you're still single right now?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. A little crazy. Ain't hurt nobody.
Ashley is very married with a 2-year-old child.
No, she was great.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was the funny story that I give the listeners.
Dan, you know, we have a lot of very big fans of the show on this that listen to this podcast, and they'll all know your name. But I don't
know about that.
Well, I think they will. And this is my question then. You were only on for 3 weeks. You did do Paradise.
Yep.
Why do you think people know you so well? I mean, a lot of people that were only on for 3 weeks, I would never know their name.
Right.
I would never know who they are. Dan Cox is a staple in the Bachelor world. How does that happen?
I don't think it was from The Bachelorette. I think after The Bachelorette, no one knew who I was. I think it was probably Bachelor in Paradise. And it was just because I was on there the whole time with Ashley and, you know, we kind of, it was a cool group.
You had a really big role that season.
It was fun. Like we had a good time and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't all the pressures of, you know, The Bachelorette with 26, you know, guys that you're competing with. It was just more of like a hangout atmosphere. And that was pretty much it. And I think that's probably, you know, for the people that remember me, it's probably from Bachelor in Paradise.
Or it's from your T-Mobile commercial.
Or that.
Ooh.
Oh,
tell us about
that.
Ashley, I got to hear, because I didn't know it was him. Okay. Anyways, Dan, what's your relationship with T-Mobile?
So T-Mobile, I'll just tell you, they're amazing. So that commercial was so...
Tell us about the what. I didn't know you did a commercial until I watched it on TV and saw you. And I was like, I think that's Dan Cox.
Yeah. Yeah. So I get a call and it was from I have an agent here. I do like different commercials and stuff on the side. And she's like, "Hey, are you available?" And usually when that happens, it's like something bad, like someone screwed up, someone didn't show. So then you got to come in. And I'm like, "What's it for?" And she's like, "It's T-Mobile." And I'm like, "Local or like worldwide?" And she's like, "I think worldwide." Mm-hmm. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm free. What's up?" And so she's like, "You need to be at this house in like 2 hours." And I'm like, "Okay." So I literally drive down. I have no idea what's going on. I show up to this neighborhood in Vegas and there's a whole production. It's like a Bachelor production set up. And I pull up and I see the main producer and I'm like, "Hey, who didn't show?" And he's like, "No, we've been waiting for you." And I'm like, "What?
What?"
And so I get in to do hair and makeup and I'm like, "What's going on here?" And they were filming a commercial for internal sales meetings with the CEO, that whole lemonade commercial, right? Mm-hmm. They were filming it with him as my role. But then the marketing team was there and was like, "This is brilliant. We should run this as a commercial. Do we have any actors that we can get here? Like, but today," because they had everything set up. So someone in production was like, "Oh, I know this guy, Dan Cox. He may be available." They found me and got me down there. And it was like literally happened within 2 hours. We filmed it in about an hour. And then T-Mobile just blew it up. Like, and then someone started tweeting out like, "Oh, my God, Dan from The Bachelor." Mm-hmm. And then it started running during The Bachelor. And they were just pumping it everywhere. So... yeah, it was a fun commercial, though.
That's insane. I texted you because I had saw it. And I was like, "Dan, I think I just saw you on TV."
Yeah.
Like, and you're like, "No, you did." I mean, that's kind of why. I don't know why I got so excited and giddy about it. I see my friends on TV all the time.
Here's the crazy thing about it is, you know, The Bachelor in Paradise, you know, people recognize you basically until the next season, right? Mm-hmm. And then it kind of, you fade out a little bit. Like, I started getting people coming up to me being like, "You're the T-Mobile guy." And I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy.
That's
like,
so cool.
Yeah, it's something different.
You know who else has a commercial in repeat right now for Kohl's is Michael Garofalo, also from your
season. That's right. That's right. Making the appearances.
Does he really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, with the family. Like,
yeah, he's like the dad.
Yeah.
He is a dad.
He's such a dad.
He was on Winter Games with us, and he honestly is one of my favorite people I've ever met.
He's cool.
He and I used to sit there and just drink bourbon and look at all the relationships blossoming around us. He really is a great dude.
Speaking of products, so I take care of a lot of people from the show.
Yeah.
Michael's obviously been a customer for a while, and he requests, you know how sarcastic he is?
Yeah.
So he requested, he's like, I don't want to pay for the products, but I'll pay for a picture of you. So every time I send him a batch of products, I literally print out like a headshot or something, sign it, and then say, here, this is for you, Michael. I'm your biggest fan.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that guy. He is one of kind. Okay, so Dan, before we say goodbye to you here, you're starting a podcast of your own.
Correct, yeah. So, and actually, I mean, inspiration from you guys and a couple other people in the Bachelor world, I wanted to create a podcast that was for, you know, disruptors in different industries. It's kind of become a big term where, you know, you see different companies and different individuals really disrupting certain spaces. And so really it's about bringing people on that have done some things in, you know, whether it's business, entertainment, sports, nutrition, that have really changed the game. And so, yeah, I really would love to have you on. It's called Excuse the Disruption. But yeah, when you come on, we'll talk about the coffee and what you're doing in the coffee
industry. Do you consider Ashley and I disruptors?
I do. So Ashley would ask me, she was like, I don't know if I'd be right for your podcast because I don't know how much I've disrupted. And I'm like, I look up to you because so many people have done this reality TV stint, and they talk a big game that they're going to, you know, move to LA and they're going to be on all these shows and they're going to make a career out of it. And I think Ashley really has. And so, no, but it really is. Like, I mean, it's a testament to you and your hard work, not just, you know, talking and trying to leverage, you know, what happened from the show. So
thank you.
She's, you know, the one thing I get with Ashley here recently,
mm-hmm.
I was telling her
besides the crush that you had
before besides the crush, the one thing I get with Ashley, and this just happened, and maybe because they're starting to like talk to me about Ashley because they kind of relate us through the podcast, they go, Ashley's like every girl. Like, she's our every girl. No. Like, everything she says is like, I can relate with,
yeah.
No matter where I'm at. She's like, we've all had like our Ashley moments in life. And then we've all had our Ashley moments where we've like found love. That's the cool part about this podcast is we've known Ashley now for a year where, you know, you're kind of down and out, questioning if you're ever going to date. You're going on. Remember at the very beginning, we were setting like setting you up like on the podcast.
Oh, that's right.
And then we see you do Winter Games and kind of meet somebody. And then, you know, that doesn't work. But it's like still a great story and it still brings you to a place. So we've kind of been able to ride the Ashley wave with her through some seasons of life recently. And so I think people are just loving it because she is the every girl.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, of course.
So nice.
Dan, we appreciate you coming on, man.
Thank you for having me. Welcome keep disrupting. To Vegas, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good to be here. We're looking out over the strip right now. And if you can kind of hear some background noises, because we have a ton of people up here listening and watching us do this live podcast. So, hey, Dan, we'll talk soon, man.
All right. Thanks, dude. You guys for having me.
Bye. All right.
Okay, just to give the listeners a little background of Jake's season of The Bachelor, here is, word for word, the argument between Jake and Vienna. I'm going to play Jake, and Ashley, you'll play Vienna.
Okay.
I'm so mad at you. I'm so disgusted with you.
With me?
You sold me out to a magazine for payment and then flirted with me all weekend.
I didn't see you all weekend.
Oh, baby, I have the text messages. Hey, baby, come to the charity. We'll get to your lying issues in a minute.
Oh, my lying issues? Right. You are a fame whore. That's what you are. I thought you were going to live a normal life in Florida, but all of a sudden we're in LA and you're pursuing acting.
At least I am pursuing something.
My dog was sick with her IVs in her, and the first thing that you said was, I'm so sorry, your dog is so spoiled that she can only maintain one relationship at a time. You called my dad on Father's Day to see why I wasn't talking to you that weekend.
Well, you're busy having flings with other men.
You are the biggest fake liar I have ever met in my entire life. I don't even know that guy.
He seems to know you, and who is the single guy you had at the apartment Saturday night?
I had a gay guy over named Todd. You are a liar. Is there a polygraph machine around here? Because you would fail it.
You don't know me.
I do.
Stop interrupting me. The thing is, I would never have done this to someone I love.
You don't love me.
Again, I got interrupted.
You are the vainest person I've ever met.
End scene. Jake Pavelka on the podcast.
Yay.
Sorry, we just had to do that. It is our producer Amy's favorite scene of Bachelor history.
I watched his season. Did you watch Jake Pavelka's season, Ashley?
I didn't. Jake, you're the last Bachelor I didn't watch. So sorry.
You missed a great season.
I know.
What made your season so good?
You know what? I honestly don't know. I think kind of like you guys, you know, I was just an airline pilot, kind of happy-go-lucky, and I was just myself. I went on there to find love. I watched it work for Jillian Harris. I really believed that I was going to walk out of there in love. And you know, ultimately, I did.
You did?
I did. But something that most people, I don't know if anybody knows this, I had both engagement rings in my pocket at the time of the engagement.
You had a separate ring for each girl?
I had both. Both
Why?
Of them wanted different settings because I didn't know what I wanted to do. Really, what I wanted to do was continue to date both of them and see how it went. But that is not
acceptable in the real life.
No, it's not. And that
who was your final two?
It was Tenley in Vienna. Mm-hmm. And so I made my choice based on which one I could stomach watching come back as The Bachelor. And I said, I'm going to have a harder time watching Vienna, not having seen that through, than enjoying Tenley's season next year.
I didn't watch it, but I do remember people were astonished that you didn't pick Tenley.
Tenley is the type of person. She's just beautiful inside and out. And I just, when I would think about it and pray about it, I just could not see a long future with her.
Yeah. Do you regret that? I mean, do you still believe that?
No.
You're confident that was the right choice.
You know what? I went through the season. I know why I made the choice. It was really thought through. It was prayed through. And I would do it all over again. I'd probably make the same choice.
Was Vienna? Because I remember this. Tenley obviously has become very well known in Bachelor World. She got married. So we celebrated that with her a couple weeks ago. But from what I understand, Vienna was kind of like the dark horse, right? Like she wasn't loved by America. Is that true? And Tenley was. Tenley's like America's sweetheart, right?
Absolutely. And I think Vienna was a little bit edgier.
Mm-hmm. I like edgy. My mom would have said, I know that we're both close to our moms, she would have said at the time my picker was broken.
Because she loved Tenley.
My parents loved Tenley.
Yeah. It's hard not to. She's a great girl. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, you know, Vienna, she didn't have the greatest edit in the world. She had a really hard time, you know. I know she's backed away from the franchise. She doesn't go to any of the reunions, anything like that. And it's kind of a shame because, you know, it's a special time in her life, and I don't know how special it was for her. You know, we've all gotten older, matured, you know. Back then, I think she was 23 or 24. We've all been there.
No, the
choices you make
young.
In your early 20s are not the choices you make in your 30s.
Mm-hmm. I think, Jake, you do have one of the most polarizing seasons ever as The Bachelor. I mean, I think we still, Jake Pavelka's name is known, and it's been 8 years.
It's been a long time, yeah.
I kind of want to walk back through the thought process leading up to the last few weeks of your season, because this was a big deal. Tenley is America's sweetheart. We love Tenley. She's happy now. She's married. But going back as The Bachelor, what was the most difficult part for you, especially towards the end?
I always wanted it to be Gia. I thought Gia was just an amazing person, and I still do.
She passed away.
In 2013. Yeah, I still think back, you know, when she got out of that limousine and just, like, she glided over to me. I still just tear up thinking about it. I wanted it to be her so bad, but she had so much hurt in her life. Mm. You know, she had dated guys that truly did not treat her the way she should have been treated. It was disappointing when Allie left. I had a great connection with Allie. And great things happened to her. You know, I think now that she's married. Mm-hmm. Is she married?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Second baby on the way.
That's awesome. Good for her. At the end, I wasn't ready to be engaged. Mm-hmm. I had both rings, one for Tenley and one for Vienna, in my pocket. The helicopters flew over. My heart was in my throat. You know, I couldn't hear my spirit talking to me. Usually, normally you hear your spirit in your gut. It's kind of saying, okay, this is what you need to do. I just was not getting any direction. The producers are like, whatever you want to do, it's fine with us. You just need to probably decide whether you want to be engaged or not.
Yeah, it sounds like you didn't feel forever with either one of them.
No, I did not.
When did you make the decision then? If the helicopters are flying over and you have both rings in your pocket, when did you finally make the decision to propose to Vienna?
Good question. That's a very good question. I made the decision based on which one of the two girls, women, which one of the two women I could stomach watching as the Bachelorette next season. And I was, at that moment, I was going to have a harder time watching Vienna go back through the or possibly go back through the franchise than I would Tinley.
But when? Was it like as they were walking up to you?
I kind of knew that it was going to be Vienna.
Okay. You said that feeling.
Yeah, but I kept waffling. I mean, it's you know how it is. It's really, really stressful, that last those last few moments of the filming.
Definitely, yeah.
So you picked out a ring, a different ring for each girl, like dependent on their personality and style?
No, I asked. So during the fantasy dates or the fantasy suites, you know, I asked each one of the girls, women. God, I got to quit saying that. Asked Gia, Tinley, and Vienna what kind of setting they wanted. And so I kind of kept mental notes, and I picked rings out for Tinley and Vienna.
Why not just not propose?
Okay. I thought about it. Thought about it long and hard. That did not work out very well for one of the previous bachelors from Austin. I think his name is Brad Womack.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because America travels on this big journey with you, you know, when you're upset, they're upset. When you're happy and you have a great date, it's like America has a great date, and they expect the fairy tale ending. That is definitely an expectation at the end of The Bachelor. And I would venture to say if America doesn't get some sort of, you know, closure at the end of the show, it's like, wait a minute. You can't do that. The show hasn't ended yet. You come out engaged. And so I think it's an expectation of America, you know.
It's a lot of pressure. You kind of feel it. But for me, I knew I wanted to get engaged. But I could definitely relate with anybody that was the Bachelorette or Bachelor, knowing at those last few days that it would feel like I don't want to disappoint anybody. And at the same time, you're like, and I have some amazing people here around me. Mm-hmm. Like, so getting engaged at one of these, I would be lucky. That's kind of my thought. I was like, I'd be lucky to be able to spend life with these women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got engaged, and we have to talk about it. You had one of the most epic breakups in Bachelor history. You and Vienna had a televised breakup. People still watch it on YouTube. I mean, Jake, walk us through it. How does that happen? I think just for some clarity, how do you allow that to be on TV? How does it get on TV? And then does it still affect your life today?
Was it the breakup or was it like some sort of Chris Harrison mediation on the verge of a breakup?
All very good questions. So the way that all came down, the relationship was not in a good place. And there was a lot of, you know, after we became engaged and I got to know her, we started planning a life together. And I could really, once you get away from the show, you really start to get to know somebody. I always tell somebody, you know, you get to know 60% of somebody on the show. And then there's that 33% or, you know, whatever that's kind of looming out there.
I like that.
She's a great person. The relationship wasn't doing so well, and I got invited to do a guest starring role on Drop Dead Diva, which aired on Lifetime. I left on a Thursday, and everything was fine. I mean, everything was fine. It was, I think, Father's Day weekend. So I flew to Atlanta, and we shot all weekend. And then on Monday afternoon, kind of late, I get a call from my publicist, and she says, "Hey, sit down. Something's happened to Vienna." And I said, "Oh my gosh, she's been killed in a car accident or something like that." She said, "Jake, Vienna's gone down to Star Magazine and has sold your breakup story." I was like, "What? We're not broken up. I don't even know what you're talking about." So I hung up on her and called Vienna, and Vienna answers. She's like, "Hey, babe, what are you doing?" And I'm like, "Vienna, what have you done?"
Yeah.
Long pause on the phone, and I said, "Look, if you don't want to be together, that's fine. Not a problem. But don't do it like this. You're mm-hmm. opening Pandora's box mm-hmm. by putting this out in the media." And she said, "Jake, it's done," and hung up on me. The mm-hmm. next thing I knew, ABC had me on an airplane flying all night long. Chris Harrison was wrapping up the last episode of the first season of Bachelor Pad. at about 3 a.m. I landed at about midnight. They sent a car to LAX at about 3 a.m. We sat by the pool. I hadn't talked to Vienna. It was the first time I'd said I hadn't read the article. And we had just as look like two fools sitting on national TV having our first conversation after I realized my relationship was over. Mm-hmm. I hadn't accepted that it was over. I didn't even have time to get heartbroken. Mm-hmm. It hurt. Nasty article came out. You know, I mean, obviously you have to respond. The paparazzi reaction was probably even worse. I know she couldn't leave her house. I definitely just kind of had to huddle up for about a week. It was awful. Awful for her. It was terrible for me.
How did it affect your life? I mean, because that was something that you probably weren't excited about showing the world. How did it affect your life, negatively or positively, by having that on TV?
Well, everybody has a breakup. Everybody has an argument, you know, things like that. We just unfortunately had, you know, our final breakup argument in front of America. You know, that is definitely something I regret. You know, I look at it now. You know, if that's the worst breakup, you know, I ever have in my life, it's not that bad. You know, we just had a little argument in front of America. What it was incredibly immature.
Yeah. We were talking earlier. Were you able to still fly afterwards?
As a pilot.
As a pilot. Yeah, you've been a pilot your whole life.
I know what you're alluding to. It did alter the course of my career.
Completely. I mean, that's huge. Yeah. Just think about that. I mean, outside of any of the details, one thing on TV altered the course of your life
it
completely.
Did. For about the next year of my life, that's all people talked about was, you know, Jake and Vienna's, you know, the worst fight they've ever seen. I tell you what. We were on the cover. This isn't something to brag about. We had more magazine covers than Kim Kardashian did that year because of that breakup.
That's wild.
That's a lot.
And finally,
Ashley gets that.
Loves
herself some Kim.
Granted, in 2009, the Kardashians weren't as big of a deal. But
so they, you know what finally took us off the covers of the magazines about that breakup was Mel Gibson. And his breakup.
Wow.
Like, yes!
Somebody else is breaking up. Yeah.
That call where he was screaming?
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, well, to switch gears a little bit then, life took you to Vegas. Are you enjoying Vegas right now, being out here?
Yeah.
Because you called this home for a little bit.
I did. Yeah, I hosted Chippendales for a couple of weeks. That was really a crazy experience. Kept all my clothes on.
Really?
I had a suit on the whole time.
That's you seem to be pretty happy about that. Like, that was a good experience for you.
It was. You know, one of the cool things that, you know, being part of the Bachelor franchise, you know, offers is you get to experience a lot of different things in life. I'd never done anything theatrical, and so that was kind of the checkoff right there, getting to host one of the bigger shows out here in Vegas.
You're now in real estate.
Yeah, do commercials, still fly airplanes.
Okay.
And best way to describe what I do, I help CFOs and CEOs of large companies understand and better manage their real estate.
Going back to pilotry, is that a word?
That works,
pilotry.
Aviation.
Yes, aviation. Give us a little tidbit of what goes on in the cockpit that we would never expect does.
What?
Remember, like, this is a PG podcast.
Scare us a little bit.
You mean the Mile High cockpit?
Yeah.
No, that's not what I was referring to. Like, do you guys eat up there?
Sleep,
I'll be honest.
No, you don't sleep on a flying airplane. I knew.
Scariest moment in the air.
Oh, good question.
Oh, wow.
Good thing I'm jumping on a flight in 3 hours.
Yeah, me too.
So my high school sweetheart, years ago, I was still getting my pilot's license. Actually, I was working on my instrument rating. My high school sweetheart asked me to take her best friend's brother flying. And so I'm like, okay, we can do that. So I rent an airplane. We fly from Dallas down to Waco, have dinner down there. While we're at dinner, it gets really foggy, like completely fogged in.
Oh, this sounds like a JFK Jr. story.
The next day, he's got an audition for the Dallas Sidekick, you know, professional soccer audition to join the team. He's like, Jake, I have to get back. Let's rent a car. Well, we couldn't rent a car because I was too young. wouldn't qualify for
Can't rent a car, but you can fly an airplane.
So, isn't that crazy?
Yes.
So, he talked me into flying an airplane in instrument conditions, and I had no experience doing that. So I remember we took off, we got into severe turbulence.
No way.
In instrument conditions, I literally turned white.
What's
I started
instrument
to lose control
conditions?
Of the airplane. It was crazy. So that means when you can't see out of the window, like you're flying through a cloud, you have to completely rely on the airplane's instruments. I had my IFR license for like 2 days. I'd never been in actual, like, I don't know what we flew through. It was the only time in 25 years of flying I've ever been in severe turbulence, and it was with this guy. He said he looked over and he said, "You were sheet white."
So scary.
That's absolutely crazy. Yeah. Well, I mean, but for the most part, for all the fans out there listening, flying is very safe, right?
It is.
Not for myself. I'm not worried, but let's just let everybody know. No, I'm actually really worried sometimes about flying.
Why?
Because you're in a tube in the air, kind of floating.
I bet I can fix that.
Yeah.
I've taken a lot of people flying that have a fear of it. Once they see how incredibly easy it is. Pilots don't really fly the airplane. We're more like lifeguards sitting at the side of the
plane. How do the wings not pop off?
They tape them on.
Okay. Duct tape. Perfect.
No, it's fascinating to me every time I'm on a plane, and I feel like I'm on a plane at least every 3 weeks, and it's just like, I am miles in the sky right now. What in the world? And what always fascinates me is how they invented the car in the late 1800s. In the early 1900s, we had planes.
We had planes. It's wild. Okay, let's do a lightning round of questions before we say goodbye to Jake on flying questions.
Okay.
Jake, how do birds not get hit in the sky and take down
Great
the plane?
Question.
Ask Sully that question.
So that actually does happen. That's
what took his airplane out.
Gosh, dang it.
I know, but why doesn't it happen more often?
It sometimes it does. It doesn't normally. I've inadvertently hit birds. You can't see them, especially small ones. But, you know, like big ones, like the, I think he hit a couple of geese flying by, and that'll take an airplane out of the sky.
Do you get so tired of sitting, and can you go to the bathroom in the cockpit?
Well, you don't want to go to the bathroom in the cockpit.
Well, you know what I mean. You're allowed to get out of the cockpit.
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, how do the wings not break off when turbulence is happening and they're flopping up and down?
You know what? Hey, that's a fair question. Boeing and Airbus, they test those wings. They would it would have to get so bumpy. I'm trying to think. Those wings will flex well above the top of the airplane. You'd have to be in extreme turbulence to break one apart. They're just built to do that.
I can't imagine if my wing of my plane was above my airplane, how turbulent that the wings. That would be so scary.
I've never seen anything even close to it really moving up and down.
No. And that's the extreme. If they to snap the wings, you'd have to bend the wings up almost 90 degrees.
Okay, last question.
I've never even imagined a plane can be like a bird like that. Oh, wow.
Flying etiquette. When it comes to people getting off the plane, is there an order in which people should follow?
You know what? People are pretty calm getting off an airplane.
Liar.
No. Airport etiquette. I was going to write a book. Seriously.
Let's go back to this plane etiquette. Is there an order at which people should be getting off a plane?
As fast as freaking possible, because the pilots are ready to go home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but is it okay? Is it seat by seat, row by row? Do they stand in a line in the middle? Do you wait till the person passes? Just is there any type of order in which people need to get off planes, Mr. Pilot?
So I guess you just start with row number one, and then it just kind of trickles back.
You would think. Yeah, you would think.
But
that
Ben,
doesn't
what
always
do you
happen.
Encounter? Normally people try to...
People climb over my seat.
Oh, wait, please regale us with the tale of your last flight.
Yeah, I was sitting in the middle seat, somebody on the window seat, decided once the plane had stopped and we were taxiing in, we had stopped after the taxi, I guess. We were at the gate. That little chime goes bing. And he decides to climb over me to get his bag.
He gave him a lap dance.
Yes, literally scooted over me.
Did you have a 20?
Yeah, it felt like it. It was incredibly inappropriate and odd. And I don't get why we as Americans just can't stand in lines. Hey, Jake, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thanks we for appreciate having me it, dude. On. This was fun.
Yeah, thanks for talking. Thanks for sharing. I know a lot of this stuff isn't always easy, and a lot of your memories as the Bachelor, you know, are kind of related back to a breakup, and that's kind of the case for a lot of us. But just know we appreciate you talking about it. So thanks, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
Jake Pavelka joined our podcast, and we appreciate him. That was an awesome segment.
We
hey,
appreciate
as we close out now with this episode, special live episode from Vegas, I want to tell all of our listeners once again about Quip. Quip, thank you so much for sponsoring this this podcast today. We enjoyed doing it in person. Ashley and I had a blast doing it together. And just to close, Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/almostfamous right now, you get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. Ashley, you and I both love Quip, and so we would recommend it highly to anybody listening. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/almostfamous, spelled getquip.com/almostfamous. Ashley, before we go, I want to give a quick shout out to all the fans that came out to watch us unveil the Bachelor slot machine today here in Vegas. It was awesome, and so a lot of really sweet people who are big fans of our podcast.
Yes.
And they said, hey, we came over because we listened to your podcast and heard you're going to be in Vegas.
Aw, yay, we told them to do that.
I know, and they listened.
I know, I love that. It's really crazy how many fans come up to me these days and say not only do they, you know, like me from the show, but they like us from the podcast. That's always the first thing they tell me these days.
I think that's awesome. It means a lot to me when people listen to the podcast. So thanks for listening. Thanks for coming out today to support us. We had a lot of really great people down there that we got to say hi to, and it's just it's super kind of you to go come all the way to Vegas to see Ashley and I. Hey, this is a podcast. I admitted my crush on Ashley. I feel like it's a big deal.
I think it's a huge deal. I can't wait to tell everyone.
Well, we just did.
Yes, we did.
Hey, with that, everybody, thanks for joining the Almost Famous podcast. I've been Ben.
And I've been Ashley.
Talk soon.
Bye.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.